Hey, this is Josh Burke. I'm the Executive Director of the Bethlehem Area Public Library, and you are listening to Beyond the Stacks, the BAPL podcast. And my guest today is Heather Mayer Irvin, who is a writer and a runner and a author of a new cookbook called The Runner's World Vegetarian Cookbook. Hi, Heather.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming in. So real quick, I'll tell everyone that the event when they will be hosting you at the library will be held on December 5th at 6:30 p.m. And the title is Five Ways to Eat Better, No Dieting. And I assume that we'll be talking about your cookbook at that event?
Yeah, the premise will be the cookbook, the Runner's World Vegetarian Cookbook, but we're going to talk about ways to eat healthy. I hate dieting. This is not a diet cookbook. It's a healthy cookbook, but there are a lot of treats in there. So I want to, you know, teach everyone that you can eat well without dieting.
Cool. Sounds good. I think we definitely need it like this time of year too. That's like a really good time to be reminded of that. So listen, I'm just curious to know sort of what brought you to Bethlehem and sort of like what the backstory behind your getting involved with writing this book was. So first of all, what brought you to the area?
Sure. I've been in Bethlehem for about 2.5 years. I moved out here for my job at Runner's World. I was commuting from Brooklyn, New York to Emmaus, where Rodale and Runner's World was located. So that was a fun commute for a few months. I landed my dream job via Twitter, actually, at Runner's World as the food nutrition editor. So that's what brought my husband and I out to Bethlehem, and we recently bought a house. So we are Lehigh Valleyites. I don't know what, maybe I need to work on that.
I don't know. I've lived here forever. I don't really know what that's called. That sounds right. Lehigh Valleyites.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, that sounds good. So tell me a little more about that job at Runner's World and how you ended up getting it. That sounds interesting.
So I have been a runner forever. I've read Runner's World forever. I've studied nutrition. I studied journalism. So I knew that one day my dream job would be to be the nutrition editor at Runner's World. But, you know, it's one of those things that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. And I was working in pharmaceutical advertising. I was a writer. And Runner's World had picked up one of my hashtags. I was sort of being facetious with hashtag #worst262tips, which for you runners out there, know that that is a play on the marathon and tips that you should not follow when training and running a marathon. Runner's World picked up the hashtag. It went viral in the running community, which is a big deal for someone who is in the running community. And I tweeted from my desk at my job in New York, "Wow, Runner's World, you picked up my hashtag, #dreamjob.
Yeah.
And an editor there messaged me privately and said, "If you're serious, we're hiring."
No way.
And they were hiring a food and nutrition editor. Within 2 months of that, Runner's World had hired me. And I started in January 2016. I was commuting. And then my husband and I moved out to Bethlehem in end of May of 2016. And it was the dream job. And unfortunately, I'm not there anymore. Things went, you know, different ways. I'm still a freelancer. I have the cookbook. And I still write quite a bit for Runner's World. But now I'm living the freelance life from Bethlehem.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And so tell me a little about like what kind of stuff you worked on as that nutrition editor and what kind of stories and what kind of topics are interesting.
I led the fuel section, as it was called. So what runners need to know about fueling their bodies for performance and recovery. And let's be honest, how to eat good food, because runners, they work hard, they want to eat good food. So we did a lot of recipes. I worked with a lot of talented writers and recipe developers. And we also wrote, you know, more scientific pieces, how much protein do you need and when do you need to eat it? Or if you're traveling for race weekend, what are some tips to follow so you don't blow up your race by eating fettuccine Alfredo the night before? I did quite a bit of work, but that was both print and online. I edited a lot of columns for the website and did some podcast work for health and nutrition. Runner's World did have a podcast. And so I did, you know, some interviews with the editors on that. And I tried to do some writing in my free time because as an editor, you don't,
right, it's different.
You do a lot of rewriting. So I was able to do some writing as well. And of course, running.
Yeah. And then, so I'm curious about your running career, but also that, so that like, so from there, presumably that is what sort of birthed the idea of this cookbook specifically on vegetarian cooking for runners. Are you, so yeah, I wonder if that came out of like what that came out of, what prompted that story.
I'm not a vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
That's the first thing I tell people, I love burgers.
I thought I saw that in your Twitter
profile.
Yes,
I do love burgers. One of the editors actually on the books team at Rodale, when Rodale had Runner's World, approached me when I was months into my job, and he said, "Hey, we want to do a vegetarian cookbook. We have two other cookbooks out there. There was just the Runner's World cookbook, straightforward. And then there was a, I think it's called Meals on the Run, which is quick meals. And they wanted to do a vegetarian cookbook because so many athletes and runners and just people in general are looking to eat more plants, whether they're ditching meat altogether. It's, you know, I want to eat more plants, Meatless Monday, for example." Mm-hmm. He asked if I would be interested. And when someone presents you with a book idea, you don't turn it down.
Sure.
So I told him, though, I said, "I'm not a vegetarian." He said, "No, but you're the nutrition editor." So it was about a 2-year-long project of developing recipes, compiling existing recipes from Runner's World and the Rodale database, working with elite runners like Shalane Flanagan, who has two books, Run Fast, Eat Slow, and Run Fast, Cook Fast, Eat Slow, same publisher. I worked with her and her partner, Elise Kopecky, to contribute new recipes, a lot of writing and editing and organizing. I worked with the test kitchen quite a bit. We did a lot of sampling. And, you know, at the beginning, I thought, okay, I'll just work an hour every night when I come home from work. I'll just work an hour on the book. And then I'd come home at 6 o'clock. I just did this all day.
Yes.
I don't want to now do it. So my weekends for several months were dedicated to writing and editing and writing and editing. Mm. And then when I found out I was pregnant and I was due right when my book was due,
oh, man.
I had to really hurry to get that done more quickly. And it all worked out. I have both babies.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, that's funny. I think that people would be curious. I know I'm curious, like, so you're running a, so there's a test, there's a kitchen at Rodale, and like you're spending part of your day like just making stuff?
Yes. So the test kitchen is kind of an amazing job.
That sounds cool.
It's, you know, professional chefs who, what they do is they test recipes, or in my case, they would look at the recipes that I wanted to include, and they'd test to make sure that, you know, they would hit certain nutritional requirements. You know, if I wanted a recovery meal, I needed, you know, X amount of protein, X amount of carbohydrates. So they would work to say, well, you know, if we use, I'm trying to think, if we use peanut butter in this instead of, you know, whatever it was, you'd boost your protein. So the test kitchens are really cool, and they're great women. Unfortunately, the test kitchen no longer exists as Rodale was disbanded, but they really helped make this.
So you had chefs, you had like chefs that you could actually draw on and work with and test stuff. And,
yes.
And sample.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They fed me quite a bit.
That's pretty cool. Is there any, like, I don't want to say controversy, but is there any like debate in the runners community as to whether or not you can, like, vegetarian eating is like ideal for a high performance athlete?
I call it controversy.
Is it controversy?
Runners can be.
In any community, I'm sure. Yeah, I didn't want to be too.
Sorry. No, I'll say there's controversy.
Okay.
You know, we always say don't read the comments, right?
Yes.
The Twitter trolls, the Facebook trolls. But you publish a story and you're going to read the comments. You want to know what people are saying.
Respond,
and there are constantly people saying, like, what do you mean you're not eating meat? Or on the flip side, you don't need to eat meat to run and recover well. And, you know, what studies and just anecdotally what these elite athletes are showing is that you can get enough protein, you can get enough vitamin B12, you can get enough iron on vegetarian diets. It's more difficult, and people tend to think that protein is, oh, you need to get, protein's actually much easier to get than, say, iron and B12. B12 is only found in animal products, so you have to eat fortified foods, in some cases a supplement, if you're not eating animal products, but it can be done. And, you know, you have two camp, people who swear by meat and then people who swear by plant-based or, you know, vegetarian. So that's why I think this book will do well with runners and people in general. Like, I don't want the Runner's World title to pigeonhole it. Really, it's 150 recipes. Look at it that way. Yeah. You know, I'm not a vegetarian, but I eat a lot of vegetables. Right. There's something in there for everyone.
Right.
So there definitely are two camps when it comes to the running community on meat, no meat. But at the end of the day, it's 150 recipes that you can have.
And there are some elite athletes who are well-known vegetarians.
Yeah, so Scott Jurek is probably one of the best known. He's vegan. He's plant-based. And he wrote the foreword to the cookbook. He's a great guy to work with. And he held the record for the fastest, and I'm going to butcher it, but basically hiking the Appalachian Trail.
He's an ultra distance guy.
He's an ultra marathoner. He's one of the best, and he is plant-based.
Yeah.
And Carl Lewis is vegetarian. So there definitely are names out there and, you know, people who do well without meat.
It's definitely possible to be a vegetarian and not eat healthy. And I say that from personal experience because, like, I dated a girl in college who was vegan. So I was, like, I wasn't a vegan. I was just a vegetarian. But I was, like, I just ate a lot of, like, pizza and drank a lot of beer and ate a lot of potato chips. And, like, I was really unhealthy. But that was not good.
Right. People think, oh, well, vegan dessert, it's all sugar.
It's just sugar.
Because a lot of you can't vegan. Have eggs. So what do you put? So people don't realize, oh, I'm vegetarian. Exactly. It's like, okay, well, you just ate three pieces. Yes. So... Exactly.
But these recipes are delicious and nutritious. I'm reading the title. And I don't know if you can give us an example. Like, is there something interesting, like a recipe that's interesting in the book that you'd like to share?
So I've been really pushing the whole wheat flaxseed blueberry pancakes.
Mm. Hey,
my husband
good.
Developed them,
yeah.
And he's very proud of himself, as he should be. We had this recipe that he just found online years ago, and made it every weekend, and then we started changing it. You know, so what if we put in whole wheat flour? What if we added flaxseed to it?
Hmm.
What if we put fruit in it? And so all of a sudden it became just a completely different recipe that we make. They're healthy, they taste good, we put syrup on them, so, you know. Add some sugar there.
Yes, hey.
And that's got to be one of my favorites because of the backstory, too.
Yeah,
and my husband did a really good job with them. And our son eats them now. Like,
nice.
we now have to make one and a half batches because he loves pancakes. So that's one of my favorites, and that's one that you'll see on out there, the images, because I really like that one. There's another really good one. It's avocado enchiladas, and that's from Dina Castor, who... if you're not in the running community, she is one of the best American female distance runners. She holds the American records in, I want to say, the marathon, the half marathon, and even the masters, so ages 40 and older. She's developed recipes for Runner's World before. She's foodie. So she was able to contribute something, which is awesome. Thank you, Dina.
I'm not in the runners community, but I did run the Turkey Trot on Saturday.
I was not here for that, and I ran it and won in 2016.
What?
And I didn't run it last year, and I didn't run it this year, so technically I haven't lost.
Yeah, you're undefeated. I did not win.
You did not win. No. Not this year.
But yeah, that's right. I could just say it that way. I didn't win this year. I did beat my time from 2016, so...
Congratulations.
Thank you. There's a picture of me at the finish line, you know, and there's the person in front of me is literally 6 years old. Like
he just beat you.
Yeah. But I mean, I lost to a child. But I'm curious. So you're a serious runner then? I mean, fairly serious. Yeah. If you're winning races, that race draws. I mean, there was a ton of people there and there were fast runners there. There were good people.
I'm very disappointed we didn't make it back from Thanksgiving in time.
So did you run competitively when you were young?
Actually, so I ran in high school, but I wasn't great, you know, maybe a little better than average. I actually started really running again after college and didn't really get competitive until the last maybe 3 or 4 years where I started just chipping away at my times and running and winning local races.
Is
smaller races.
Was that when you were in New York, though?
Yes. Yes, I ran with a team in Brooklyn and then came out for Runner's World and been slowly chipping away at my times.
And what's your best marathon time?
So I caveat with,
I don't even really know what a good time is. I just don't have to caveat for
my
me.
My best marathon is a 3:31, which up until this year, it qualified me for the Boston Marathon.
There you go.
But they just dropped their times. So for my age and gender, it's now 3:30. So that would have been fast enough for the times now. But I'm actually most proud of my 5K and mile time. My best 5K is in 1944, which I did in October here in Bethlehem for the Runner's World.
Just this past October?
Just this past October. And a year out from having a baby, so I'm going to brag about that
a little bit.
Yeah. And my best mile time was this past September, 5:33. So I think I'm actually most proud of those than my marathon.
I can't run that fast for at all, even for 2 seconds. But that is awesome. And and I am, again, excited to remind everyone that you'll be speaking at the library on December 5th at 6:30 p.m. here at the main library. Are we gonna have some treats there?
It's funny. I was wondering if you were gonna ask me that. I just spoke with Matthew, and I said I can't make a promise.
Yeah,
I'm going to try.
All right.
I'm very busy right now.
Yeah, no pressure.
But I'm hopefully going to have some treat.
Maybe we'll make something. Maybe I'll make something and bring
it
in.
If you want to make something, then we'll definitely have treats.
All right. I'm gonna bring something healthy in from the book. I'm going to check it out. I think it's checked out.
Is it still checked out?
I've been stalking him.
I come and I look at the cart catalog.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is excellent that you do that. I can relate.
My mom would do it too. I actually have to donate one to my hometown. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
And she can stalk
it. Or she could buy one. Come on, Mom.
She has bought some. Okay. She's in the cookbook, so she even got a couple free.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. This might be a dumb question, but I was curious, like, recipes, like, are there like copyright issues?
No.
Like, so I could put your husband's blueberry pancake recipe in my book.
It's frowned upon, but yes.
Huh.
And I've talked about this with the test kitchen and with editors and writers that you can't copyright, but like, for example, Coca-Cola can patent their process and their formula, but the recipe itself, no. And so I list all of the contributors in the back of the book with what they contributed because I don't want to steal people's recipes.
No, right.
But yes, you could take Jeff's recipe for pancakes and say that they're wrong.
I won't do that. Was that, did you put sort of like a call out and like to say, like, send me your best recipes, or how'd you go about gathering them?
So I knew that I wanted to contribute 30, whether that was coming from me or from some of the writers I worked with when I was at Runner's World. But then I worked with a lot of recipe developers, and I would say, hey, I can't pay you, but I can give you a cookbook if you want to contribute. And then, so I did that with some writers and runners and a couple chefs. And then I looked through, Rodale had a giant recipe database from Men's Health, Women's Health Prevention, Organic Life.
Oh, yeah, years and years of stuff, right?
So I would just spend hours in the archives. And I knew breakfast, lunch, you know, I had all my categories. And then from in there, I would search, I'm like, well, I need eggs, which are vegetarian. People wonder. I need eggs, or I need a pasta dish, and so I would just sit there searching and looking at what might be a good fit to kind of round out the book.
Yeah, that's interesting. That really sounds like it sounds like a ton of work, but it also sounds like kind of fun. Was it fun?
It was fun. Okay. It was fun.
Because I think people here writing a cookbook, they're like, Amelia just sounds fun. But then, I mean, I know that there's a lot of work that goes into
it. I will say that if I were to do another one, if anyone's listening, give me a book deal. I would do a cookbook. I would write a cookbook that's how I cook. Mm. I don't cook following a lot of recipes, which you might find ironic. I think, I'm just going to throw these seasoning together. I don't measure. Mm. I just throw it together, and that's how I cook. Baking is different. Baking is a science, and you have to follow things to exact. But that's how my cookbook would be. But
it's like jazz cooking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to go with that. So, but it was, so I almost feel like it would have been a little bit easier if they were all my own recipes.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of research.
Yeah. And I mean, and just, even if it's, I mean, the difference between 1 tablespoon or 1.5. I mean, right? You have to.
Well, that's the great thing about cooking is, not baking, but cooking. You can just I don't want spicy, so I'm going to do a pinch versus a quarter teaspoon. So it was a lot of fun, but I broke things up into sections. So I was like, okay, today I'm going to just work on breakfast.
Yeah.
And that helped because, man, it was a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's an awesome looking book and it's congratulations on its release. And thank you so much for coming to the library on December 5th at 6:30. And thank you again for coming to my office today to talk about the book for the podcast. And,
can I plug it for a second?
Plug everything you want.
So you can find the book everywhere books are sold, right here in Bethlehem's Moravian Bookshop on Main Street. And I will be doing a signing there on December 15th at 1 p.m.
Are we going to have books for sale on the 5th?
We won't.
We won't. All right.
We won't. So that's why I'm...
Go to that one also.
Moravian Bookstore. And they're in stores now, as well as Aardvark Sport Shop
on
Main Street. I did a signing with them a couple weeks ago, which was great.
I saw the Aardvark at the race.
Yes.
The actual Aardvark.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it was a guy in a suit, but it was cool.
I know who he is.
Oh.
I cannot tell.
Nice. That's a secret.
And then as well as Book and Puppet, their Eastern Public Market Outpost. They're selling the book, and I'll be doing a signing on December 8th at 3 p.m. And you can buy it on Amazon at Barnes & Noble.
Awesome. I'll post this stuff on the blog, too. And, again, the title is The Runner's World Vegetarian Cookbook. So if you search it up that way, you'll find it wherever books are sold. And the author is Heather Mayer Irvin.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we will see you on the 5th. Bye.